Praise God. Watchman Radio represent East Coast Live Radio. Check one. Test. Yep. Yep. We are broadcasting live on WWCR tonight. Frequency 4.480 megahertz. Been on the air for a long time. Maybe 13 years. And, yeah, we've been around, you know, even, geez, that's when streaming first started. No! I remember when codecs were around in radio, and then I was like, how about we just start streaming using the Winamp app? And that's when Zach was over at WWCR. That was a long time ago. But we were kind of the first to do that. And really, in radio back then. That was a long time ago. And I'm using that same platform since. Unbelievable. But instead of getting the whole codec and everybody was using different forms of broadcasting back then, more professional, cost thousands of dollars to do the connection, but in my case, I found a way just to do the streaming technology, and it's been serving us well all these years. So we uplink right over WWCR in Tennessee. We're broadcasting out of WWCR tonight. Shouts out to all our listeners out there that write us, listen to us over the years. Some people have been listening to us for years and write us and say we've been listening to you for 10 years. That's like a decade of hearing me. Jeez. You're going to need prayer. And I will pray for you because that's a long time, 10 years. And then there's other people listening to us since we started. So, and we've been pretty consistent in the message, which is really prepare ye for the Lord, the return of Messiah, Jesus Christ. And many have gone home to the Lord over the years, many of our guests. And you know, it's all about just, listen, the message has been consistent. We've had prophetic warnings. We've had people on here with prophetic warnings that are useless. And it's sad that the prophetic has been so mixed up with so much polluted words that you really have to dig for truth in this time. So We got Minister John Kyle. Hasn't been on, geez, maybe 3 years. I don't remember, but he hasn't been on a while. So he's back, and we always love John Kyle. Man, can he preach. So he preaches the word, and he's a great deliverance minister, and we like to, God, if it gets strike the head going in the city again here, we'd love to have him out here. And it's just been, enemies definitely been holding us, attacking. In fact, I'm going to be ministering a little bit of that tonight, a little bit of word. The website, you can't really get to the chat box anymore. A lot of people say they can't find the chat box. That's because I only post it on Facebook. A lot of people aren't on Facebook, like Osa and a lot of other people. So you have to type it in manually, which is mixlr.com/Watchmen Radio. That's with an E, not an A. So Watchmen Radio. So Faith Radio Project. With that being said, we just got a few more out today. If you haven't received yours yet, please get a hold of me. Faith Radio is all about putting something in your hand for free. It's a listener-supported program. And what we do is we send you a small radio that has 998 audio files on it. And you might say, what is that? It's a lot of files. And it is. It's, I think, 4 gigabytes of teachings. And the teachings are of what I've accumulated over the years. In fact, one of them on there, is one of the first deliverance messages I've ever heard years ago, and that's on there. But accumulation of T.L. Osborne, Healing the Sick, Bosworth, Christ the Healer, you know, the greatest faith teachings we could find, hours and hours and hours and hours. I was the whole books in audio format, and of course the Bible in audio format, and then of course Wynn Worley, Derek Prince, Marcus Haggard, you know. All the great deliverance pioneers are on there to teach you every realm of deliverance that you possibly can want to learn. And I'm talking all the basics, you know, the renunciations. Also, all material is also included on that SD chip. If anybody is computer suave and knows how to retrieve it from that SD chip that's on the radio, you can just simply put that in your phone, or it's an SD microchip. And that would, all the materials on there in literature format. So you got our Mass Deliverance Manual, which has been used all over the world, all over the world. Very successful manual. Devil hates that manual. It's very simple. You just follow it, and boom, you will have success in deliverance management. It's that simple. Why does it work? We don't know. It's all from the Lord. That whole renunciation booklet, everything that was put together, it's just of God. And when something's of God, it just works. And people argue, it's not going to work. And then they try it, boom, they have great success in meetings. And they're like, wow, that works. Well, it works because it was the Lord. And if he's ordained something, and the Mass Deliverance Manual is successful all over the world, and people try to copy it, they copy and paste it now, people doing that, whatever makes you happy. But I've been compiling that and editing that since 2000. It's a long time. And the last revision is probably better. Revision 3 is really what I want to get back to. So there's going to be a revision 5 coming out, which is going to be revision 3. A lot of what I had in there, because I think a little bit too wordy in certain things. I'm talking about the Mass Deliverance doc in there. All right, let me get Jimmy on. I'm rambling. So, yeah, the Faith Radio, if you need one, make sure you call us 877-734-6327, but leave your address spell out your address. If you write us in snail mail, like we just got some orders out today, free, you can snail mail us at Watchmen Radio. P.O. Box 1576, West Babylon, New York, 11704. And we'll get you the radio. We'll get you the radio. So, somebody just wrote me a letter, and boom, we got hers out. So, the key is sowing what we can to help people going through attacks, situations, and circumstances. We just want to be some form of beacon of hope, because I know that those teachings on there, I know that leaving that Bible playing all day and all night. The anointing will build in your life. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, word slash promises. When you're hearing the promises of God over and over and over, boom, faith builds. Faith is illuminated. Amen, Redbeard?
Amen.
All right, so I don't have much time, so I want to touch on a little bit of a word. The devil is a liar. Someone asked in the chat box if we have it on CD. No, but we have it in MP3 format that I can send you a link where you can download everything from Dropbox. All right, so hold on 1 second here. I want to read here. Now, listen, this scripture my pastor touched on a couple weeks ago. And this verse, I never really studied too much, but it always reflected me back to in the book of Exodus 17, where the children of Israel came out, out of Goshen, and they went through the Red Sea. And then, of course, they were entering into the wilderness, you know, and trials began. But I want to touch on this in 1 Corinthians 16:9. Did I say that right? The numbers right? Because if you don't, the religious bastards will condemn you to hell. You can't say 2 or 1. It has to be a certain way. So for 1 Corinthians 16:9 says, "For a great and effective door is opened unto me." This is Paul. Paul is saying this. "And there are many adversaries." There are many adversaries. Now, this is important to take note of, because how many out there in your life have seen a blessing open, or a ministry opportunity open, or a certain situation where the Lord is opening something in your life and it looks good and you got the green light, and boom, out come the attacks? How many out there have had that? I have. Jimmy?
Hey, man, I have as well.
Okay.
All the time.
All the time. Now, we don't want you to be this message is an encouraging message, okay? We want you to know that you are on the right track. There is going to be, I'm not saying all the time, but in a lot of cases, you're going to have some pushback, because the enemy is watching. The enemy has been described as a roaring, lying, looking, and seeking on who he devour. And we know in the book of Job, the devil appeared with the angels. He followed them up to this meeting, and he was going, I'm going, you know, up and down and through and out the earth, observing. This is going on now. The enemy is definitely stepping up his attacks. Does not want you blessed. Does not want you delivered. Does not want you healed. Does not want you getting revelation, because he knows that if you're illuminated to a certain revelation and you bask in it, that your faith will grow, you'll become more powerful, you'll become more successful, and when you do so, you'll be more of an effect to see others set free. That's the real fear that the enemy has. Really, that's it. Is the multiplication of the children of God, the multiplication of healings and deliverances and emotional issues. Loosed. Loosed. Does not want anyone loosed. Wants to keep people in captivity. He's a legalist, and he knows the strategies and the following of iniquities of the sins of the forefathers. That's why deliverance is so detrimental, to break the power of the past. There is power in the past that must be severed. It's not automatic all the time. Sometimes the Lord has grace, and boom, everything is automatic. But I'm not. In a lot of cases, you have to fight your way out of situations. Okay? Now, "For a great effective door has opened unto me," Paul said, "and there are many adversaries." Now, I want to touch on 1 Samuel 16, verse 10 to 13. 1 Samuel 16, verse 10 to 13. I'm not going to read it all, but I'm going to paraphrase it in the context that this is the story of David, where he was sought out by Samuel, and it was the Lord saying, "Thus say the Lord, Samuel, go anoint the son of Jesse." Right? Everybody knows that story. And when Samuel was looking through the eyes of a man, And he right away went to the strongest and tallest. We know the story. Well, you should know the story. And it turned out it was the ruddy, younger boy that really was the one that God knew, the heart. It wasn't the outward appearance. And that's how many of us are today. It's human nature to want to look at the outward and say, well, this one looks like he must be the one because he's in certain stature. It must be him. You know, because we're looking at the outward appearance. But the Lord knows the heart.
Absolutely.
Very important. Now, in this case, it was the younger. Now, upon studying this today, I found out David was 25, actually. He was 25 in this instance. And he's still young. I'm just saying I thought he was younger, but from the research I did, it turns out he was pre-anointed to be king at this point by Samuel at the age of 25. Now, after this anointing, many attacks came in his life. Many things happened. Many things came his way. And throughout the whole, you know, acceleration and excess, you know, as he was going and accelerating towards his calling and doing what he can to fulfill what he knew was the calling on his life, he had to go through battle and treacheries and disasters all throughout his life in this token of 5 years, because it was 5 years of adversaries. So we see this verse of 1 Corinthians 16:9, that a door was open, but many were his adversaries. And he went through all these attacks of being attacked with javelins and, you know, almost stabbed and killed and treachery and, you know, on and on and on and on. So what I'm saying is that this pre-anointing, and then later in 2 Samuel 5 verse 4 came the real anointing, right? David finally was anointed king of Israel. So, this tells us there's sometimes two anointings for the same calling. God might have anointed you to bring you through the wilderness to get to the next place and the next level where another anointing of the similar power of that first anointing will bring you into the fulfillment of your calling. Whether it be in the music ministry, evangelism, prophetic, hopefully real prophetic, and you stay away from fake prophetic, because there's many spirits moving around that district. Stay humble and stay away from the false. But the fact is that knowing that God is going to give you that fire to get through this attack. Now, I don't have much time, but I just want to scoot over here to, again, two anointings. The pre-anointing, you can check it out, 1 Samuel 16, verse 10 to 13, pre-anointing by Samuel. And later, the real anointing to be king. I shouldn't say real, but the second level of the same anointing, 2 Samuel, verse...
The fulfillment of the first anointing.
Huh?
It was the fulfillment of the first anointing.
See, fulfillment,
God,
yeah.
God anoints people all the time to do a ministry. But they don't go through the battles. They quit when the javelin's thrown at them. So they never realize the true calling in their life.
Mm.
If they will stand through the battles, because that is the Father strengthening you and teaching you how to stand when you walk into the anointing that he has already given you.
Yes. That's good. That's true. So stand, because when you get through those trials, when you get through these adversaries, like Paul said, a great effective door has been opened, but many, and Paul did go through it. He had treachery, backstabbers, he had Demas, he had Alexander the coppersmith. I mean, on and on and on. And Jesus himself had similar things going on. So, you know, things aren't going to go perfect and smoothly all the time is what we're trying to say. But if you stand... You stand, and when you've done all, what's it say, Jimmy?
When you've done all you can do, stand.
Amen.
To the glory of the Lord.
Now, I'm going to roll over to Exodus 17, because everything I'm saying is, I always go here. I always go to Exodus 17, and again, I'm going to paraphrase it for the sake of time. And this is the story of the children of Israel. They came out of Egypt. They came out of captivity. They came out of bondage. They left Goshen, which was kind of a hangout for them. They had their own district. But they wanted to get away from the bondage and the captivity. They loosed them. God loosed them from the captivity, from a great deliverer. It was a prophetic symbol of Yeshua, was Moses. He was a great deliverer of God's people. And was led through the Great Sea, the Dead Sea, and brought into the wilderness. Now, this Exodus 17, now, you might say, hey, they were delivered. They went through a lot as being slaves. And God delivered them through a great victory going through the Red Sea. And coming into the wilderness, they were rejoicing and praising. We know the story of Miriam, jumping and singing. Everybody was just doing great. So they went from brickmaker to from captivity to freedom through great deliverance. And then we see Exodus 17. And we're like, whoa, what's happening? This is when they were crying out for water in the wilderness. Now, what happened is Moses was instructed to smite the rock. This is a prophetic symbolization of Yeshua, Jesus Christ. When they smote Jesus, water came out. He's the fountain of life. There was a prophetic type and foreshadow here when we read in Exodus 17. When he smote the rock, what came out? Water. And Jesus Christ, we know, was the rock. When they smote him, out came water. Now, the refreshment that they received in this wilderness was recognized by who? None other than God's enemy known as Amalek. Now Amalek saw the refreshment being poured out and the blessing being poured out in a very unusual place. This was in the middle of the desert. This was a blessing of God flowing in a place where it should not be. It was a miracle. And when they saw it, right after they saw this, Amalek came out. Now, right after the deliverance as brickmakers, they went into making swords. They had to go into combat. And there's actually studies of these swords that Moses instructed them to make. I'm sure it was the Lord that instructed them. It's a pretty deadly-looking sword. Yeah, it was a pretty deadly-looking sword. I think they found a few. But this sword they created, they had to go into combat. Now, you might say, God delivered them, brought them to this mighty, mighty deliverance through the Red Sea, and you think everything's free and clear, you're praising the Lord, and boom, you got a battle on your hands right after receiving the refreshment of the rock. This is a prophetic type and foreshadow of the flow of the Lord in your life, and boom, out comes the enemy. So now you got a battle on your hands, don't you?
Absolutely.
You see where I'm going with this? Many are your adversaries. Great door has opened, Paul said. But many are your Amaleks. And the Amaleks came out to fight. Now, Amaleks were seasoned warriors. Amalek were dwellers of the wilderness. They were troops in the wilderness. They fought in the wilderness. They thought that this was going to be an easy thing for them to do because these were brickmakers. But when you read on in Exodus 17, you'll see when Moses put his arms out and was sustained by Joshua, I believe by Caleb, that was a prophetic type and foreshadow of the cross right there. When he had his arms stretched out, the power and the anointing of God flowed over the armies of Yah. And they slayed Amalek. So, through whatever you're going through, whatever situation and circumstance, whatever thing that you think that the God has brought into your life and now you're under attack for it, whatever ministry, whatever blessing, whatever relationship, whatever it might be, stand and believe the Lord and believe the word and believe the cross, because the cross was the power to bring the children of Israel through this battle of Amalek. Very important. It was the symbolic power of the cross. Now we know Moses was a type and foreshadow of Yeshua, Jesus Christ. That's what it said. It says he'll raise up a deliverer like unto me. So we know when he was putting his arms out, that was symbolic of Calvary. The power of Calvary flow over your life tonight. The power of Calvary. The power of the cross flow over somebody somewhere out there's life tonight. Amen?
Amen.
Now, Jimmy, you touch on that.
Look, you know, we always want to look at things in the natural. We always want to look at things in our humanistic way of understanding. As you were reading all of those stories, Gideon kept coming to my mind. You know, here's Gideon over hiding behind a well. He's terrified. And the father calls him to be the leader of the army. And then, after he finally says, okay, I'll be the leader of the army, he tells him to go down and start cutting the army. Cuts the army down to 300 men, from thousands of men to 300 men, because the father wanted to use the little thing to confound the wise. When we're going through those spiritual battles, those battles look insurmountable. They look like things that there is no possible way we could overcome. So rather than charge headfirst into that battle, knowing that the Father has called us to such a place, we turn and hide behind a well. We turn tail, as they would say down here in the South, and run. The Father's looking for people who is going to stand up, realize that we don't do anything of our own strength. Everything that we do as believers is because he has empowered us to do his will. I mean, they've been to services and stuff. They've seen people raised from the dead and blind eyes open and deaf made to hear. They've seen all these things, but they don't realize I couldn't raise flies unless I didn't take a bath for a few days. But I can't heal a blind eye. I can't open a deaf ear. But when the Holy Spirit is there and the Holy Spirit is looking at that battle, he knows he's already has the victory. And if you'll just step in and do what the Father tells you to do, you're going to see great and mighty things happen in your life because of the price that the Messiah paid when he hung up on a cross. That is the redeeming blood that allowed us as the dispersed seed of Israel to come to the foot of the cross and be redeemed, be called again to be his bride, to enter into covenant with him again. And when we're in covenant with him, he is our covering. So any battle we have, he's fighting that battle. We're not.
Amen.
So we look at it in our humanistic eyes and think that we've been thrown to the wolves. No, he's standing right there ready to do battle on our behalf. And who can overcome him?
Interesting, yeah. Greater is he in you than he in the world. No, it's like almost a cliche when people say that. But when we look in this Exodus 17, that's a prophetic type and foreshadow of the power of cross flowing as Moses put his arms out.
Absolutely.
In a symbolic form of the cross. And that's, it says when that happened, when his arms were lifted up in that manner, it says that the children of Israel prevailed. So there was an anointing in this prophetic type and foreshadow of the cross. Now, here's the thing. When we look at that Old Testament story, we take that into the New Testament and the cross, like you just said, the power of the cross, we have to just always lean to all the scripture relevant to the cross. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity, chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. That's the key. It has taken place. It was finished. Amen.
When he said it's finished, it was finished. It's already been accomplished. You just have to walk into it.
Well, that's the thing. A lot of people get discouraged. Now, here's the thing that I've learned over the years, and you know it too, is that some things are incremental, meaning that when you're coming against the enemy, don't be discouraged, but keep on keeping on, because some chains take a while to break. They don't always break immediately. So if something hasn't gone or hasn't broken by the name of Jesus and by the stripes of Christ, keep on coming against it, keep on rebuking it, keep cursing it in the name of the Lord Jesus, and sever it by the sword of the Lord, by the sword of the Spirit, and keep puncturing that situation with the Word of God. And you will have result You will have victory, but some forms of attacks are incremental. It's little by little, says the word. It says little by little. God delivered the enemy out of the land in the book of Judges, in the book of Exodus.
Well, one night I prayed for a woman. She's in stage 4 cancer. She is literally going in for the very last round of chemo that she can ever take. I mean, because her body is so radiated. She's going in, I think, 2 days after we prayed for her last round of chemo. She goes in that 2 days later after we prayed for her. They took the x-rays before they did the chemo. They looked at the x-rays and said, you know, we can't tell that you've ever even had cancer before.
Nice.
I mean, that's completely healed.
That Amen.
Same night we prayed for a person who had just got diagnosed with cancer. I mean, just had barely been diagnosed with cancer. We prayed with that guy probably for the next 4 years. So right. Why did the Father choose to heal this one woman who was at the very last moment of that battle,
yeah,
completely heal her and not completely heal the person who had just found out?
It's a mystery. It's a mystery. So that's why you always have to roll with it and keep on keeping on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Unreal.
I mean, two people with cancer the same night get the same prayer, feel the same anointing, the same spirit of healing that was in the room.
Yeah.
One's healed immediately. One has to battle for 2 or 3 more years.
It's a mystery. Some things are a mystery. And like I said, keep on keeping on. If you haven't been delivered of a certain spirit right away, keep on keeping on, because this is warfare. And the enemy will put up a fuss. That's his job. He wants to put a fuss. They want to make a fuss. They want to squat as long as they want. When there's an eviction notice, they want to find a way to stay. Many that are landlords out there, Sammy, know what I'm talking about. Pastor Kyle, you on the line?
I'm on the line with you, brother.
Praise be the Lord.
Hallelujah. Good to be with you again.
Yeah, it's been a few years, huh?
It's been a while, yeah.
Well,
too
listen,
long, I guess. So good to be back with you.
Minister John Kyle out of Montana.
How are things?
That's where you still are, huh? Montana? You're still in Montana?
Oh, yeah. Still in Montana.
Praise God. Well, you know, Oasis Church, Pastor John Kyle has been on with us many times, and he's a deliverance minister. Now, Pastor Kyle, you have a message? Did Sammy give you a time for a message tonight?
Yes, sir. It did.
That's right. So I think we're just going to yield the mic over, and when you finish, we'll come together, and maybe you could pray over the audience tonight. That would be great. I know there's a lot of people out there who would covet your prayers as a deliverance minister many years, you know, and a preacher, great fiery preacher. So, you know, without further ado, Pastor Kyle has not been on for a while, so we want to give him this time on WWCR tonight to preach the word of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. We'll get into it. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
We're ready.
All right. Let's talk about some sins of the mind is what I kind of had on my heart here, mind troubles.
Mm.
You know, people could be entertaining things in their mind, you know, and never really acting on them. But in reality, they are acting on them in their mind. And, you know, they've allowed mind pollution to take place. And, you know, many Christians today I see are in bondage in their mind because they allow things to go on in their minds that a believer should never allow to go on in their mind. You know, a mind can actually live in sin without them actually doing the physical acts of sin. And, you know, I'm not talking about a temptation. We all get temptations in our mind, and that's not sin to be tempted. But I'm talking about an indulgence of the mind, say in the sexual area. A man could be having sex with his wife and thinking on some sexy woman at work or some picture he saw, or a woman can be having sex with her husband, but she'd be fantasizing in her mind being with another man whom she was attracted to. I mean, this is just the sexual area, but, you know, there are other areas we could talk about, like greed. They could be greedy in their mind. They could be sinning with greed in their mind, money lust in their mind.
Mm.
And maybe you covet somebody else's wealth in your mind, and you dwell on it, and despise them for what they have, wishing that you had it. Or jealousy, man. So many people are ate up with jealousy nowadays. They're ate up in their minds with jealousy. And you see how a person's mind can be in great bondage and sin? I mean, look at Michael. You know, she saw David coming in dancing before the ark, and she, what happened in her mind? It brought her into bondage, and the Lord saw it too, and it cost her dearly. She was childless till her death. So the Lord knows what people are thinking. Don't think the Lord doesn't know what people are thinking. He reads your mind. He knows what's going on in your mind. He knows the kind of thoughts that people are entertaining.
My God.
And, you know, you might not be committed any outside sexual acts or acts like the, other acts, but, you know, your mind, you're allowing demons to minister to you. And what they are and who they are, and it's only going to bring you into and keep you in bondage. It may even bring you into a physical act eventually as well. And if you allow any unforgiveness in there to root up in there, you know, there's going to be a bitter fruit growing in you, and that can poison your whole being. And not one, but many spirits can come in. Of course, you know that, brother. And so loving, liking, or entertaining yourself with worldly music, too. And I mean, just people listening in their mind to loving the world. If you hold on to music from your past, you know, before you were born again, before Christ, then you have a lust, love, or idolatry still to the world in you. You know, a worldly attachment. And wherever there's worldly attachment, there's spirits that are lodged in there, you know. And so a worldly attraction is still going on. Somewhere there are some demons there that you've not been allowed to be dealt with, that have not been allowed to be dealt with, okay? You're holding on to them. You're holding them there by your thought life, your habit life, and you're in agreement with them, and you like them, and you won't budge in an area of your life, so you may be stuck there for years. You know, a lot of Christians I meet are stuck. They hadn't changed in many years. They're just stuck. You know, the statistics are people don't change that much. I mean, they get settled in their way, their comfort zone of living, and they stop changing after they're born again. But wait a minute, folks. You know, God wants to work change in us until he comes or until we graduate. So is it any wonder that the church is in the condition it is? We've rebelled against change. We've rebelled against it. We said by our actions and our thinking, no, God, no. And by doing that, you know, we said yes, demons, because wherever you say no to God, we say yes, devil, right? Because we're saying no to God, we're saying yes to the devil. And so to disobey God is to obey a demon. And to refuse to yield to God is to yield to demons. And sure, we don't see it that way, but, you know, that's the true reality of things. And, you know, we don't want to see a lot of things the way they really are in this society, because we don't want to see the real picture a lot of times. But, you know, we better wake up. The church had better wake up. We better snap out of our stupor and our drunkenness on this world system and all its alluring ways, because it is very alluring to many today. And so we better wake up out of sleep and quit always pointing a finger at others and their wrongs. Hey, we got some wrong too. We better look at ourselves, and hey, we might need to do some change. We might need to get some more demons out of there.
Amen.
Right? So he who is without sin, let him or her cast the first stone. And, you know, I really see that. That was one of the things I said in one of my programs, that I saw this year there's going to be a lot of stone casting. They're just going to be intense. I think I said that in my first January show, that there's going to be a lot of intense stone casting by brothers and sisters against brothers and sisters. And listen, that don't need to be going on. Yeah. We got enough stones being cast at us by the devil. We're in spiritual warfare, folks. And when we yield to demons and cast stones at our brothers and sisters, we're tearing our own body apart. I mean, what sane person would start ripping and tearing on their body? But that's what Christians are doing today.
Wow.
All right? And this has got to stop. I mean, there'd be a whole lot less stones cast, you know, and a whole lot less bloody Christians out there if we would just quit looking at everybody else and trying to find some fault with them and try to destroy their ministry, destroy their lives, you know. And some people, they live to gain money. I mean, you can't take mammon with you. That's a spirit anyway. You can't take that into eternity unless you're going to hell. There'd be plenty of mammon there, I guess. But why do you have such a lust, a money lust going on in your mind? Well, because you picked up those idolatry and adultery spirits. You commit adultery with the world. Or you know, attention. Some of you lust for attention. You got to have all the attention. You got an attention-getting spirit. You feed on attention. Feed on importance. You know, we need to examine ourselves, saints. You know, where are we at today with Jesus? Yeah. Are we moving ahead or are we stagnant? You know, what have we given place to? What spirits are dominating our lives? Why have you not been able to change certain ways of your life? Why? Why? We got to ask ourselves some serious questions today. Why do you have such control and have to be in control, control everything? You know, why do you want your way so badly? Mm. You know, why do you have to be right all the time? Why are you so stubborn? Why are you so spiritually stuck all the time? I mean, these are tough questions, but tough questions need to be asked of ourselves if we're ever going to get out of tough circumstances and repeated situations, and people just keep repeating the same situations over and over because they've still got the same spirits. They haven't been willing to ask these tough questions.
Yes.
And, you know, some people, you know, they give up on deliverance. You've seen people do that, I'm sure. I've seen plenty give up on deliverance. They give up on ever changing. They settle into a status quo type of life, you know. Oh, I'm a Christian. Well, oh, yeah, you are then. Okay, where's some fruit? You know, I don't see any fruit of the Spirit. Where's the love, the joy, the peace, the gentleness, the meekness, faith in your life? I mean, where's the you're practically faithless.
Mm.
Yeah, where's your long suffering? Yeah, you're suffering, but you're not long suffering. Come on, I mean, hello, people. You know, where's the temperance? Where's the patience? You know, many Christians have so little fruit because they truly yield so little to the fruit maker.
Yes.
I mean, the Holy Spirit is the fruit maker, right? We're not the fruit maker. And so they are the fruit of the Spirit, the Bible says. And so remember, it's not the fruit of us, but it's the fruit of God.
Yes.
And we won't have much fruit of God till we yield and surrender and submit fully to God. And many won't do that. Because they're holding on to something, you know. They're afraid to really yield up everything to God. He might make them do something they don't want to do, or, you know, he might speak some way that they're not comfortable with, and because they're holding on to something. You know, of course they're going to be uncomfortable, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, God will never do anything to hurt you, harm you, or that is not out of love, because he loves you, right?
Yeah.
He loves all of us so much, but they want to, you know, they won't fully trust him because they want to hold on also to the world in some way, some shape or form of the world. And we can't do that. The Bible says you love the world, the love of the Father, what, is not in us? And then some, you know, again, some people have a problem with pornography today. I mean, this is a major problem in the church today, and sexual uncleanness, sex outside of marriage, masturbation, chronic masturbation, addicted to it. I mean, many do, and this is not an uncommon area for a Christian to be bound up in. I mean, do you give yourself over to it and say, well, I guess it's just hopeless? I know some who have. And it's indeed giants in your land there that you've let come in there and squat there and dwell there. And when you're under these spirits controlling your life, your land appeared to be controlled by multiple giants. And you need to have the attitude of Caleb and Joshua. You know, they had the right attitude. And a lot of it is your attitude. A lot of Christians have that give-up attitude. But we can't go with that, man. We got to go with the word attitude, the proper attitude. Yeah, the giants are big. But, you know, we can go up and take the land from them. You know, I can live a sexually pure life, a God-honoring life. You know, sexual uncleanness is really, it's bondage. And, you know, I've ministered to a number of people over the years, and some recently, you know, they say they're called to the ministry, even been to Bible college, Bible school, you know, but they're living in and with sexual bondages and addictions and sin. And some got free and stayed free, and some didn't. All right? And some I know right now are living in sin, and yet they say they're in the ministry and called to the ministry. And now with this many in bondage, though, just a little thought about that, who've been prophesied over, you know, a lot of them, and told, which for some was probably bogus, right, prophecies, but because, you know, there's some good words and there's some false words going on out there. But
yes.
How many do you think, you know, who are in ministry today and who've been in it a long time and who never submitted to or even knew of deliverance? And they're in ministry today, and they're unclean sexually, and they're going around laying hands on a bunch of people, praying for people. And what's going on there? You think they might be transferring a little something out there? I think so, you know. And I'm here to tell you there's probably a lot like that, men and women. and they're in ministry, and they're bound in lustful spirits, porno spirits, adultery spirits, different type of sexual spirits, and their minds are bound by, and I surely could name some names too, but I'm not going to, but their minds are bound by sexual spirits, by unclean sexual thoughts and lust, and yet they'll go out and they'll lay hands on people and spread those unclean spirits around. And, well, Pastor, that's unrealistic. Pastor Kyle, that's just unrealistic to expect people not to be sexually clean. I mean, you know, that's just unrealistic. Oh, really? That's not what the Word says. The Bible says something about fleeing fornication. Hmm. It says flee fornication, run. That means run. I mean, like someone who told me, well, somebody told me recently, everybody worries, you know. Like really, Pastor, you don't mean to tell me you don't worry? You know, oh, that's fine talk, Pastor, but in reality, everybody worries. I said, no, they don't. Everybody sins sexually, don't they? No, they don't. You know, they may have in their past, but they may not be doing it now. They don't have to be doing it now. I mean, these are demons talking. They convince people, oh, everybody's doing that. You know, everybody's drinking a little bit now. It's not that bad. You know, a lot of Christians are drinking now, and it's okay, you know. These are demons talking who've convinced people that they're certain ways and the Word isn't true. Well, you know, and that's just a sign of these days, I think. You know, two things God has shown me, you know, two issues and problems. That one is big in these last days. These two are very big in the last days, and they're deception and rebellion. And these are very strong spirits. And they've been majorly released on planet Earth and against and in the Church of Jesus Christ, they've been released. And Christians talk about fornicating as if it's a biblically acceptable behavior. I don't think so. You know, Christians say, you know, we'll have to see if we're compatible by fornicating, even living together. Yeah, I got to check her out first a little bit more closely. You know, people who do those things and claim to be Christian, I just flat tell you, you're deceived, you know, and you're in rebellion. And those are two big ones right now. You know, there was a doctor, sociologist at Yale University said that the people who live together are more rebellious and less religious. Well, I think he had more truth. He wasn't a Christian that I know of, but still, I think he was on to more truth than he realized. And Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, what are they going to do? Going to both fall in a ditch, right? And so you turn on PBS or some other program, and you hear 1 billion years ago, man came out, he became a monkey, you know, and he started out as a monkey. And, you know, if you teach a whole society that you're just an animal, then all you're going to get is animalistic behavior, right? Our government schools have propagated those lies. I mean, kids act like a bunch of animals because, after all, they're just an elevated ape, right? Violence, sex, deception. Lies, because, hey, you know, they've been lied to, so is it any wonder that they're living a lie? I mean, they live in the lie. Satan is the father of all lies, so is it any wonder that they're living in a lie? Is it any wonder young people lie? They've been told a lie, so they tell lies. I mean, the government schools are nothing but demon strongholds, in my opinion. They're just waiting for your child at school. The demons are, they're demon whorehouses, is what I think. And demons peddle their lies and deception to our youth like a whore peddles her body out, you know, like a prostitute, you know, peddles her body in a state of Nevada or something where prostitution is legal, or on the streets of some big city where they're doing that, you know. Read about an old man, you might have heard about it too, who died having sex with a prostitute, and he got stuck to her, and they had to pry him out of her. I mean, what a way to die, brother, I tell you. Surely he's going to, you know, be in hell, because I don't think he repented, because he wanted to be with a prostitute in his old age there. You know, the world and its inhabitants are thoroughly infiltrated by evil and depravity. So much so that most of them reject Jesus and his word and his truth and his authority today. You know, I believe the way I want to believe about God. You know, I've got my belief system. That's rebellion and deception. I mean, folks, judgment's already begun in the world and America, because the first step of judgment is deception, right? So our society is drunk on the wine of Babylon with its rampant deception. And this year is another year of increasing deception. And in the church and out of the church, we see it going on all the time. And we don't have time to talk about all the different things that are going on. But, you know, we need to stay in God's Word. We need to fast. We need to pray. We need to seek His face continually to make sure we're not deceived along with so many others who are being deceived. And, you know, I assume almost all of us are deceived in something and don't know it, because if you knew it, it wouldn't be deception, right? So too many also give themselves up willingly to deception because it feels good. It feels right. You know, Christians embrace deception because it's easier than to walk into truth. You know, truth requires a lot of change, right? We walk into truth, it's going to be changed from glory to glory, from faith to faith. But if you're not walking into the truth, well, what do you have? You got deception, you got lies, and the flesh and deception are in bed together. And they flow easily together. You know, the flesh loves the lie. I mean, that's just normal. So I got to, just in closing here, I've got to say, well, what is your holdup? You know, it's time to remove the personal holdups in our life, the personal hindrances. What's slowing you down today? What's slowing you down? Is it a habit? Well, you know, I've just been smoking for 10 years, and I just can't quit. Well, you believed a lie. See, when you just said, I can't quit, you believed a lie. You believed a deception, and I'm not saying that smoking is sending people to hell or anything. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's just unclean and not healthy for your body, and when you believe a deception about it, you know, what did the Bible say? What did the Word say? It said you could do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You know, you just don't hate things enough, see. The Bible commands us to hate evil, doesn't it? And I know I've had Christians that have a problem with that. I talked to a lady recently. Oh, no, I have compassion on the devil, you know. No, wait a minute. Come on, you're to hate evil. Oh, well, I have a hard time. You know, I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to love, you know, not hate anything. You know? Well, that's not what the Bible says concerning evil, okay? And so, you know, a lot of Christians just don't hate things enough. They just don't hate things enough. Smoking's not evil, or overeating, or whatever's holding you up. See, it's not that bad. Well, here's what I have to say about that. If it's not godly, then it's tearing you down, and it's evil, right? If it's not building you up, what's it doing?
Amen.
Okay? Is smoking godly? Does it glorify God? Does it build up the temple of the Holy Spirit? Does it build up the temple which you are? Well, is it giving you and other people life when you walk up and witness about Jesus with a cigarette hanging out of your mouth? I mean, is that life-giving, God-glorifying? Is it something Jesus would do? The Bible says, you know, we should do what Jesus did, right? We should act like He acts, right? We should manifest Christ, Jesus. Well, I can't quit. Well, can't shouldn't even be in your vocabulary. You know, you just don't hate it enough. You love your flesh too much. And it's at enmity with God, your flesh is. So you're in rebellion, basically. You know, people who say, I can't, or, oh, it's just too hard, they're in rebellion. And they're in a measure of deception. And you've sided with the flesh instead of with God. You know, a lot of people siding with the flesh. But the flesh is always going to be at enmity with God. And the flesh is loaded with devils. And we need to recognize that and realize what we're dealing with here, that there's devil strongholds in the flesh. And no wonder it's at enmity with God, because the devil's at enmity with God, right? And so we could say this about other things, too, like overeating and sexuality and lies and different habits that Christians are in bondage to. But I just got to say, when are we going to hate certain things enough to get rid of them? I mean, how long are you going to wait? How many more years have got to go by before there's change in your life? I mean, what are you waiting for? What are we waiting for today? What area of carnality, meaning fleshly, is God wanting change in your life this year? Is it too many movies you're watching? Too much TV, too much, you listen to too much worldly music, and you listen to and doing worldly dancing and entertainment there. You got to have your alcohol, your marijuana. How long will you allow demons to cause you to live in a measure of deception about yourself, saints? How long, you know? Let's get the spirit of Caleb and Joshua and go up and possess our land, our temple of God, and rout out the enemies and make it a dwelling place suitable for the Holy Spirit. let's take the ground from the Hittites, the Jebusites, et cetera, you know, on and on until these devils are removed completely. I mean, this is war. Life is spiritual warfare. I say that all the time. Life is spiritual warfare. If you don't fight, you're gonna be taken out. And it's time to fight. It's not time to sleep. Amen, brother?
Amen.
I see I'm about out of time here, but that's basically what I want to say tonight, brother, and I hope that somebody heard that.
Good word. Yeah, and it's kind of in line with what we were touching on earlier about, Moses coming through the Red Sea and the deliverance. There was a portion of deliverance, you know, kind of representing of in our walk of the beginning stages of our walk, right? And then, of course, the wilderness, there was many experiences of learning in there and different enemies attached to different wildernesses, different sections of wilderness. So, yeah, Joshua and Caleb later routed out the land, and it says little by little. So there was a process, you know, of elimination, but
Amen.
You know, and Amen. But you know, a lot of times we're playing like whack-a-mole with the same thing. You're right, and I guess you know it really takes a level. I would say, if anything, you could pray over. We have like a minute left for you to pray. If you could pray over the audience, that people would begin to hate that one thing in their life. Amen. So, can you lift up the audience in prayer before we close?
Oh, absolutely. Father God, Lord, in Jesus' name, we come to you and we thank you, Lord, that you're a mighty God and, Lord, that you want to deliver your people, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you get a holy hate going in your people like Jesus went in and cleansed the temple and said, you've made my house a den of thieves. And he went in there with a hatred for the evil that was going on in the house of the Lord. And Father, this is our temple. This is your temple. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Lord, create that desire to be hating that evil enough to do something about it and to actually get free this year and to change this year and to rout out those wicked spirits in our lives, Lord, and to take authority and to see the deliverance that you desire to give us this year in your compassion and love that you have for your people, Lord. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. And we give it a glory, Lord, for your mighty work in us today because you are so good to us, Lord. We can't thank you enough for delivering each one of us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, John Kyle also is a blog talk. And what night is that on?
Friday night, brother. And Friday. Deliverance Today broadcast.
Friday night. And you can probably check out most of that if you go to www.oasis, theoasisplace.org. O-O-R-G. Amen.
Amen. And we're having a conference, too, brother, in the end of April. That's on the website, too, if you want to come to that.
Where's that going to be?
That's going to be in Billings, Montana.
Billings, Montana.
Training, yeah. It's Deliverance Training Conference.
Listen, get a hold of Pastor Kyle. I would love to come to that. I would probably move there and become like a mountain man. I'm serious. like a Davy Crockett
come
guy.
Come on, brother.
Listen, I'll do it, man.
Yeah,
I can see me like wrestling bears and doing stuff like that, you know, away from New York.
Oh,
amen?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yes. Amen. Away from that Babylonian city, right?
Good night, sir. God bless you, sir. See you
Thank
soon.
Thank you for having me.
Good night. Bye. All right, it was Pastor John Kyle. Hasn't been on for a while. I was blessed. Jimmy, you still with us? Jimmy must have fell asleep.
Oh, I'm here.
He's like that one guy that fell asleep when Paul was preaching. I think he died.
And can you hear me now?
Yeah, I hear you. Anyway, Watch Your Radio saying farewell. Our website, nextcrusade.com, which there is no website, but that'll bring you to our archive page until we figure out what happened to that. And in the meantime, you know our P.O. Box, 1576 West Babylon, New York, 11704. Toll free, 877-734-6327. God bless you tonight. The Lord loves you. We certainly love you. We know the Lord certainly, certainly loves you. And we say peace. Be unto you in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night.
Amen.
Good night.